Good evening.
Tonight, Be'ez Hashem, we're learning a fascinating Seif. It's Seif, the second part of Seif Beis, and hopefully Seif Gimel as well, maybe even Seif Dalet. And these halachas include some very interesting halachas. We're going to be seeing a Mishneh Berurah. I don't think the minhag is like the Mishneh Berurah. We'll be talking about saying Amen after the Baruch of a Goy. We'll be talking about saying Amen after the Baruch of a child. Can you say Amen after a Bracha of a child? What about saying Amen after a person who doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs, but he just said a bracha? Can you say Amen after all that? We should also discuss a little bit, when can a child actually say a full name of Hashem? When he's learning, when he's saying a bracha, when can he say the full name of Hashem, or rather not? What about the person teaching him? Can he actually say the full name of Hashem, or should he rather just use the expression of Hashem? Yeah. Very good. Over telephone and microphone will be discussed as well in Mitzvah Hashem. Let us see those halachas inside. So let's start again from Seif Beis, which is the bottom of page 254. So it says as follows: Hashemea, somebody who hears, Echot Meisol, a Yid, a person in Yisrael, Mevorech, who makes a bracha, but Mevorech, Achas Mikol HaBochas. If you see, a person saying Achas Mikol HaBochas, any of the brachas, so it could be a bracha before a mitzvah, could be a bracha before eating something, could be any bracha. Afal pi shelo yishama kula, although you may not have heard the entire bracha, metchil asa, from the beginning of the bracha, ve'at sof, until the end of the bracha, you may not have heard the whole bracha, but afal pi she'enei chayev peris bracha, hey, you may yourself not be obligated in that particular bracha that you're hearing. Nevertheless, chayev, you're obligated lanois to reply, to answer achav after that bracha. Amen, you must say amen. We spoke yesterday about the what if you only half a bracha, if you hear the bracha without the name of Hashem. We spoke about that. But here we're just not discussing the point that you need to say amen after the bracha of a yid. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, avol, but if the person who makes the bracha doesn't even believe in Hashem, he's a non-believer, he doesn't believe in Hashem, but he still says the bracha for whatever reason, maybe for social purpose or because of feel-good factor or for whatever peer pressure, he's saying a bracha and an apikoyer, somebody who clearly does not believe in Hashem, but he's saying a bracha. Oi, or kusi. We know the kusim were people who pretended to be yidden, but really didn't really believe in Torah shebiksav. They only believed in Torah shebiksav, in the Torah, in the written Torah. They did not believe, however, in Torah shebalpeh. He's a kusim. And also, and the geirus is controversial. We're going to see what Mishnah Berurah said about it. Controversial geirus, they're not proper yidden. So if it's a apikoyes who made the bracha, a non-believer, or a kusi, or a tinok, or a child, or a gadol v'shina matbea brachas. All the last example is a adult, but he didn't actually say the correct wording of a bracha. He changed it. He didn't actually say the normal wording of a bracha. He felt free to have a poetic, what's called a poetic allowance. What is that called?
Justice.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, you get a poetic license. So he allowed himself with a poetic license to change the wording of a bracha. So then the halacha is Ein oinin acharav omein. You will not say omein. Again, you do not say omein after bracha of an apikoyres, a non-believer, a kusi, person who doesn't believe Torah shebiksav, Torah shebalpeh. And you don't say omen after bracha of a child. And you don't say the omen after bracha, which is a made-up bracha of a person who allowed himself to change the wording of a bracha. That's the Shulchan Aruch's words. All of them need examination. But let's continue with Ramah. For oinin omen, and we do say omen, achav ovid kechavim. You do say omen after bracha and ovid kechavim. I think you mentioned that the other day. I think you mentioned a bracha of Ovid Kechavim. You do say Amen. If you see a genuine goy who says a bracha, you say Amen. Im shoma kol bracha mipiv, if you heard the entire bracha from his word. If you hear a goy saying a bracha, you could say Amen. That means if you've got a goy who comes to visit in your house for whatever reason, and he says, oh, I want to be very polite, and I know that you say blessings, and he takes out and he says the words of a, I want to be very, you know, thank you very much for offering me a cup of water. I want to say a blessing. Well, how do you say the blessing? If you don't want to be rude, you don't want to offend him. And he actually says bracha, word by word, you know, he says word by word, the bracha. And then afterwards, you can go nod. You say, thank you so much. It's really much appreciated. But you're not going to say amen because it's a bracha of a goy. Yeah.
You translated
your
courage to someone who doesn't believe in the body. Is that 100% mukra? I mean, I understood that an apikoros was someone who had issues with what the rabbi said. But it wasn't absolutely for sure that he but I didn't believe in the Vajrapa. You could still have a person who did believe in the Vajrapa but didn't believe
in
the authority of the Rabbanim, or didn't believe in the Vajrapa in exactly the same way that it says the Masoret says.
You are right, you're right, and therefore they are considered Abakosim. You're right. It doesn't have to be a non-believer that doesn't believe in anything. It could be a person who's got an altered or a mixed up understanding of the omnipresence of the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's also called an Abakoros.
But you can still believe in Kadosh Baruch
Hu. Yeah, correct. 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 I don't know much about philosophy, but the word Abakoros comes from the Greek philosopher Epicure. No, I think that's how he was called. I don't know Loshna Epicure. I don't know much about his philosophy, but that's where it comes from. The name Epicurus comes from. The word Epicurus comes from a Greek philosopher. And his name was Epicure. So, yeah.
If only the book in English, can you still also make?
Most definitely, yes. Yeah. So now let us see a little bit more about this. Says the Mishneh Berurah. Says the Mishneh Berurah in Seif Katan. Says the Mishneh Berurah in Seif Katan Ches. I want to see Seif Katan Ches. Chayav la'anos. You need to say Amen. Teksev, because it says in the pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu. It says in the pasuk Kishem Hashem Ekra. I will call out the name of Hashem, Havu, and then the continuation is, you praise Hashem. So whenever you hear somebody praising Hashem, you're going to say, Amen, to confirm and mechazek the bracha. V'omu Chazal, Chazal say, Gemara in Yuma, Om Aloein Moshe Yisrael. Ha Moshe Rabbeinu said to Yisrael, to Klal Yisrael, K'shani mevorech, when I make a bracha, umazkir, and I mention, Shem Hashem, the name of Hashem, Yisbach, it should be blessed. Hatem, you, nation of Klal Yisrael, Havu Goydel Elokeinu, you should raise and praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elokeinu Banias Omen by saying Omen. So Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Klal Yisrael, when I say a bracha, you should add your praise to it. And that's what we do when we say Omen. Seif Katan Tes, Achav Omen. Isa Medrash, the Medrash says, Shishemeh Sha'echon Mispalel Dovor. When you hear a person saying a tefillah, oi, or mevorech leYisrael, he benches, somebody blesses Klal Yisrael, or he hears somebody saying any tefillah about Klal Yisrael, afilu b'lo yazkar Hashem, even if Hashem's name is not mentioned, somebody says, oh, he just praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu without mentioning Hashem's name, chayev, you're obligated lanos omen to say omen. So even if that is, could be somebody saying something in English, could be somebody saying in any language, in Yiddish, in English. If he's praising, or he's thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's praising the nation, or thanking Hashem, even if he doesn't say Hashem's name, nevertheless, Chayev Lanos Omen, you should say Omen. Lochein, therefore, Nispashet Aminik, the Minik is common, showing in Omen, that's what we say, Omen, Achava, Acha, Harachamon, Bivirkes Namozen. When we say the Rachamon is in benching, we generally, we say Amen as well, because this is in line with this concept that whenever you see somebody saying a bracha, you should say Amen. You should say Amen. There isn't, yeah. Let's carry on a little bit over here in Seif Katan Yud. Aval imoyo medechayil apikores v'kusi behadi tinuk v'gadol jeshino. Since the Shulchan Aruch, it's more global Shulchan Aruch, and he talks about an apikores, about the kusi, and a child that is simultaneously, together with a gadol sheshino, or together with an adult who is changing the wording of the bracha, mashma, it appears, techado dino islu, they're all within the same halacha, they're all the same. Kiechad evetino gadol, the gadol sheshino, mashma filu shoma kola bracha mepiem lo yane omen. It appears that even if you heard the entire bracha from a child, you heard the entire bracha of a kusi, the entire bracha of an apikores, the entire bracha of a person who changed the wording of a bracha, it doesn't make a difference. You should not say Omen. It makes no difference if you heard half a bracha or the entire bracha. You should not say Omen after any of those. That's the same halacha for all of them. What is the reason for that? Although with regards to a kusi, which the Gemara and the Mishnah seems to learn that if you hear the entire bach of a kusi, you should say amen. Hainu, this is koydim shemotzola and mus yoyna ba'agrizim. So the Mishnah is referring to an interesting incident. The kusiim, there was an Asian, that one of the Persian kings in the Sefer Malachim, he imported and he exiled Goyish nations, a whole population, into Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why he was doing it, he had an agenda. The agenda was that he thought, if I'm going to put tens of thousands of Gentiles for my own, I'm going to bring them over to Eretz Yisrael. Who is that going to lead to? What? That's right. He wanted to make the country much more into his own kind of style. He wanted to assimilate the Eden. So he thought, you know, the best way, instead of fighting all the Eden and wiping them out, I'm going to do something much wiser. And he imported a huge amount of kusim, that's where they came from, into Eretz Yisrael, thinking that they'll assimilate with Eden. His plan didn't quite work out, because what happened was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about lions to those villages where the Kusim lived. Lions. We know in Eretz Yisrael in those days there were plenty of free lions. I think they're pretty much all in the zoos by now. But there was definitely lions in Har Yehuda. There was lions. So what happens? The lions came into those villages of the Kusim, of those nations, and they scared. I don't know if they actually killed anyone, but it's only scared them to bits. So then they decided, okay, well, this is a bit too scary for us. Before packing their bags, though, they sent some sort of Navi, the Psukim describe in Sefer Malachim, and they found out that actually it would be much safer. He said, this only happens to our villages, to Jewish villages, they seem to be pretty safe. So then they decided, they put one and one together, and said, okay, if we're going to become Gerim, we'll be alright. If we become Jews, then we found out. That's what happened, they became Gerim. The Gemara ever is not sure if this Gerus was a real genuine Gerus. We know that a Ger only becomes a real genuine Ger if he's Mekabel Torah Mitzvahs properly. And they were a bit in doubt, weren't quite sure about those Kusim. Are they actually really, did they really accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom and his Malchus and his Mitzvahs? Or was it more like just a way of getting out of the lions? They're not quite sure. Was it a real genuine Gerus or not? So the Gemara discusses for a couple of centuries, there was a discussion, Geri Arois or not? Are they real Gerim or not? Can you intermarry with them or not? And it wasn't clear until one day, many years later, they found in Hagiz, they found a Dmus Yoino, that's what the Mishnah Berurah is referring to, they found a Avoy Dezora, an idol, in the shape of a Yoino of a dove. And all those Geri Arois, these Kusim, they actually went down, they bowed down and did Avoy Dezora there. And that obviously made the case very clear that they were not real Gerim, obviously, but they still in secret had served Avoy Dezora for all those years. So from that moment onwards, they decided, okay, obviously, they're not real Gerim, and they're Kusim, and they're Goyim, and they're over the Avoy Dezora, and they certainly are not considered Yidden, although externally they actually did appear like Yidden. But the Gerus is not accepted Gerus. So the Mishnah Berurah is referring to that over here, and he said that Kusim, there are Gerus, they're actually not considered good, they're not considered Yidden. Certainly after we found in Har Grizim, Shoy Oivdim Lord, they served the Vedizorah. But after that, they're not considered the Kavonos and Har Grizim, they served Har Grizim in this mountain, they found the Vedizorah. So we cannot accept that. So if a Kusim makes a Bracha, you certainly do not say Omein. Why is that? Why don't you say Omein after the Bracha of a Kusim? Absolutely, absolutely correct. He may be referring to his Avodah Zarah, not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's because Nami Ein Kavanos L'Shemayna, because also his intention is not purely to Hashem. El Avodah Zgedulim, he also is very likely to be referring to his own mixed up understanding with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore you don't say Omen after Zah Shebrachem. Right, now, Mishnah Mosef Kotten Yud Aleph. Yeah, so the God of Yuroi Pasak, the Be'elu Hashnaim, Mishomah Kol HaBochem, Be'pi Oine Achav Omen. This is correct. The Vilna Gaon understands the Stirza Mishnah is differently, and he says that if you hear the entire Boch of this, you say Omen. This is based on Machloikas, how you understand to Mishnah's and Mishnah's Bochas. And the Vilna Gaon, you're right, does say that if you hear the entire Boch, you do say Omen after an Apikuris and after a Kusi. Vishinol Dafke, Kshishonam Eoifen, Shaloyotzim HaBochem Achmazeh. What do we mean if somebody says what happens if somebody says Shakol Nibidvor, but he says a slight mistake? He doesn't say Shakol Nibidvor, but he says Shakol Bidvor, very good. Or Shakol He makes a slight mistake which doesn't make a huge difference in its interpretation and its meaning. Slight difference. It makes a slight difference. Do you still not say Amen? We just said, Shulchan Aruch said, if somebody changes the wording of the bracha, you don't say Amen. That's what the Shulchan Aruch said. That's like what Mishnah is referring to. Absolutely. Mamash 100%. So here we say, Mishnah says, you don't always going to say, no bracha is a mistake, yeah? If it's a slight mistake, says the Mishnah Bura, then you do say Amen. So obviously the question is always going to be, is that a slight mistake or not? But it means, does it mean the same than the bracha, or has it changed meaning altogether? Mishnah Bura says, Kot Yud Aleph, Tadavka Kshashino Ba'ofen, it's only if it changed in a way. It wasn't Yotze the bracha at all. If he said it's such an altered version, that you're not Yotze the bracha, you're not going to say Amen. You're making a bracha in vain, and you don't say Amen afterwards because of bracha levatolim. And finally, this if got your base, Shoma Kol HaBrocha, She'en Derech Oved Gilulim Lechav and Avodes Gilulim, you do not, when an Oved Gilulim, when a Goy says a Brocha, he's not referring to Shemaske Hashem, he's not referring to Hashem, skip the brackets, Mikon Mokim Da'asataz, Da'in Olav Chiv Lanas Omen Rakashos. He said if a Goy makes a Brocha, it doesn't genuinely refer to Hashem, it's generally some sort of Avodah Zorah that he's referring to, therefore you don't say Amen. Now, I want to just address a very interesting brackets over here. What happens to a person who has gone off the Derech, Cholila? Somebody who has gone off the Derech. Okay, say you know of a neighbor that used to be from, and he is Nebuch, he's gone off, and you see him, he has gone off, he's been now away, he comes now, and he says, you know what, why don't you come in for, can I just come in for, do you want, can I offer you a glass of orange juice. Can you just come in? And he comes in and he says, so nice to see you. I haven't seen you. Where have you been? I've been to India for 2 years. Oh, so nice. Can you want a bit of orange juice? And he offers me orange juice. And I say, oh, you know, I feel bad. You know, I'm a former. I was former. Can I just make a bracha? But you don't believe in a thing. Yeah, no. Okay, so he's getting his couple out, and he makes a bracha just purely because of respect of, you know, of the host. But he's been doing Hinduistic kind of thing since, and he's like half Hindu and Abba, and so now he's making a bracha. He doesn't believe in what he's saying. He hear me a doso, he's gone off. Cholila. Do you say Amen after this bracha? Yes, and he doesn't believe anymore. Chas v'shem, we don't. So he's got no intention. You're saying don't make a bracha. No. You don't say Amen. Yeah, is that true? Does everybody agree to that? He's saying a beautiful shakel nebidvoy, the best shakel, like a perfectly sounding shakel. But he doesn't really believe it. Says the Mishnah Berurah in the brackets. That's the Mishnah Berurah in the brackets over here. He says, "V'nira," and it appears. He said that since he is making a bracha now, he knows what a bracha is. Now it's true. He doesn't really believe. He may not believe in Hashem really. This is a very, very deep Mishnah Berurah. Look at this in Shaar Tzion. The point that he's making is that, yes, you will say Amen. This is a valid bracha. Because at the end of the day, if he has his Hindu intentions, he wouldn't really make a bracha. He would make a bracha. So now, whilst he's now making a bracha, he can't be referring to something different altogether. It's a perfectly correct and legitimate bracha. So I hear. But Mishnah Berurah says a slight different lomdus. Mishnah Berurah says, look in Shai Tzin, if gotten you'd base. Kivin she'ena of Odu Gavodis, where is that? She'en de Chavodis Kirom Lecham Lavodis Kirulim Shemaskar Hashem. Yeah, no, well, the point really is the words before in Mishnah Berurah, in Sifkot Nud Beis in Mishnah Berurah. She'en de Chavodis Kirulim Lecham Lavodis Kirulim Shemaskar Hashem. When you make a brocha, you wouldn't normally refer to a Avodis Kirchovim, idols. When you make a bracha genuinely, you are probably, you probably mean Hashem. So since this is a perfectly sounding bracha, in a legitimate circumstances, so we're going to say this is not, so there's no avodah zarah element in this. So you're going to say Amen after that. You can say Amen after that. So that's
why wouldn't that validate all the other ones? Pardon? Why wouldn't that validate the ones by Kusim, the ones by Goyim, the ones by Goyim? That's far as they look at an apple, they see that Hashem's created it, and they say they say it with some kind of kavanah that isn't completely twisted. Why wouldn't the same logic apply to the other cases?
Yeah, because if he is hemia dosoi, it's a good question. It's a very fair question. I think there's a difference between somebody who has gone off to somebody who's just not bekoiros. And not bekoiros may have a distorted understanding of Hashem and of the creator of the world. So it's this distortion. I cannot say omen to that distortion. Exactly. Yeah.
That's right.
Correct. Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Oh, I want to speak about child now. Very good. Okay, the tinoik. So let's just go through the words of Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch speaks about Bikoros. We understand that. You don't say Omen after Bochav Bikoros. I hear that. Shulchan Aruch spoke about Kusi. We understand him as well. There are people that don't really believe in Hashem. They don't believe in the Torah. We don't say Omen after Bochav. That's fine as well. I'm skipping now tinoik. We can also understand the one who has changed the wording of the Bochav altogether. A very substantial change. We hear that. We can't make a Bochav after made up Bochav. It's just, you know, maybe sounding poetic, beautiful, but you can't make a, you make a, make up a bocha. It's very nice for you, but you don't make, say amen. The one which is undoubtedly the most b'chodesh is the bocha of a child. Shulchan Aruch says, after a child, you do not say amen. So a child makes a bocha, you don't say amen. You don't. You don't say amen. That's what Shulchan Aruch says. Oy tinok, you don't. That needs definitely further understanding. Definitely further understanding. Why don't you say Amen after the birth of a child? Yes. If you hear the end on it, right. So that doesn't sound like that's the case over here. That doesn't sound like it's the case. Yeah. Good. So we're going to speak more about the child. We're going to speak on that. We need to see Sif Gimel to have full clarity because that's a fascinating topic. Prior to doing so, I want to just point out. It's just in line with what we discussed earlier, but I want to point it out. The Bialocha on the side. I want to just emphasize that the Bialocha on the side. Point out. I just want to see this inside because it's really important. Can you see Hamavorech Apikoyres? He's at the Bir Alocha. So it's not Mishnah, but it's Bir Alocha on the side. Hamavorech Apikoyres. And the El Simi Lamed Tes, Bir Alocha, Bir Amaschel, Chikos, Apikoyres. Now, the Poshut, says the Bir Alocha, it is self-understood, the Poshut Yisrael, that the Yidin who don't, She'ena Ma'amini B'divei Chazal, all the Yidin who don't believe in Chazal, a Yid who doesn't believe in the Gemara, who doesn't believe in Mishnayis, who don't believe in the post, who don't believe in the Torah, in the oral Torah, heim kekusim kodim shegoz v'alem. Their bracha is not, you can't say omen after them. Tetzorich lano is achrein omen, keim kekusim kodim shegoz v'alem. Tetzorich lano is achrein omen, kshesomu kol habracha mipiyem. He says that the poishe Yisrael, people who, she'einem aminim b'divei chazal, hem kekusim kodim shegozu aleim. Tetzorich lano isachin omen kshesomu kol habracha mipiyem. The Bir Alochan I want to say that contemporary poishe Yisrael, she'einem aminim, contemporary Yidden who have issues with parts of Torah shebiksav, poishe baal peh, you should still say omen, says the Bir Alochan after the bracha. This is only in terms of saying Omein after the Bocha. So you've got a person who believes in Hashem. You've got a person who keeps a lot of mitzvahs, but he has reservations about some parts of the Gemara, let's say. Has reservations about some elements of Torah Shebaal Peh. Says the Mishnah Berurah, you should still say Amen after his bocha, but only provided that you heard the entire bocha. The tzorich lanos Amen after kshishomu kol habocha mipiem. Vezehu dafka leinian leinias anian Amen blevat. Velein inzer shalei dovosh bektusha lo yotiv mepas hakoyim. So if you've got that kind of person as just described now, you should still say Amen after such a bracha, because on the whole it does believe in parts of Torah Shebaal Peh and the whole Torah Shebiksav. You should say amen after a bracha, but certainly not le'inyan tziruf minyan. So you could have a person that you do say amen after his bracha, but you don't add up for minyan. If he doesn't believe at all in the legitimacy of Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebal Peh, he doesn't believe at all in the oral tradition, then you don't say amen after a bracha. If it's a Poshe Yisrael, somebody has got doubts, yeah, this Gemara, I'm not so sure about this, halach of it doesn't really make so much sense. But on the whole, he does believe what's going on, he does believe on the whole, principally does believe, then you will say amen after his bracha, but he doesn't count for 10 in the minyan. That's the bi'alach of it, which is a fascinating bi'alach. Yeah. He has done Geirus.
He hasn't done Geirus.
He has not done Geirus.
He's doing Geirus.
He's doing Geirus. If he's truly going through the process of Geirus, we'll definitely say Omen for his bracha. Yeah. Right. Now the Bialocha does not discuss a very simple case of a person who just doesn't keep mitzvahs. You know, just an average person out there who just doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs. You ask him, he believes in Hashem. Yeah, I suppose he believes in Hashem. He's finding it quite hard. A lot of the halachas he finds quite hard. He believes in Hashem, but he's having trouble with a lot of, but he doesn't really keep Torah mitzvahs. Will he say amen after that? You know, plenty of people who just weren't, or just don't have that same, just doesn't keep Torah mitzvahs, Mechal Shabbos. Yeah, even Mechal Shabbos. Will you say amen after a bracha like that or not? You will not. Based on what? Is it like a kusi? Is it like an apikoros? Is it a tinoik? Is it a godel? You change the nuscha bracha? What exactly? Why not? Based on what? Question number one. Question number two, slightly different. What about a genuine person who is in the Reform movement, for instance? Reform movement has got big shitters about what will be the halacha then? Of course not. You don't say amen after a person who believes in... Correct. As Mamash Moshe speaks about it, it's definitely not. You don't say amen. But what about a person who just doesn't believe? It just doesn't keep. Not that he doesn't believe, it just doesn't keep. Doesn't keep. Chal Shabbos, eating tefah.
He doesn't keep it, he believes in
Hashem. Yeah, he probably believes. He probably believes all right, but he doesn't keep. You will say. Believe but doesn't keep, you say. He's saying it's like a tinoik, it's like a chan. Kussi. So you're saying that it depends how he was brought up. So there's a very interesting pshat from a psak from Avil Yashiv. Avil Yashiv says, if somebody doesn't fall in the category of an apikoros, he doesn't, you know, you will say amen after a bracha. If somebody's not an apikoros, he doesn't have like completely mixed up shitters about Hashem. He believes in Hashem, but he just doesn't. He's mechal Shabbos. Well, he can't help it. He is eating basil. He's eating tefah. He just can't help it. But now he's coming to your house and he's making a beautiful. He's making a bracha. You certainly will say amen. You see him in shul shaking the lip. You certainly will say amen. Why not? He's not apikoros. He's not a kusi. Why don't you say amen? Rav Lashiv says you could certainly say amen after such a bracha. Right, okay, so we're going to be discussing that. We're going to go into the sugya of a cotton of a child. We'll discuss that tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. Just to recap what we discussed tonight. We learned the concept that a person should always say amen after a bracha. We learned that it's even if you didn't hear the entire bracha. You should say amen. You have an obligation to say amen. However, the following exceptions apply. An apikoros, somebody does believe in Hashem, somebody who's a kusi, a child, to be discussed tomorrow in greater detail, in Mitzvah Hashem, and somebody who changes significantly the words of the bracha, you will not say amen. A goy, if you hear the entire bracha, and similarly somebody who went off the derech, if he says a perfectly sounding bracha, you will say amen after him. And we also spoke about... we spoke extensively about the kusim, and we identified exactly who they were, and why nowadays, since we found them serving Avodah Zarah, why they're certainly considered goyim, and they're not considered legitimate yidden. Okay, more on the cotton tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem.